ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराण मुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायत पत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्न वारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीताम् दधुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेव सुतम् देवम् कंसच्चानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धार नीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाहोदितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः पेबीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारतपङ्कज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयति गिरिम् यल्कृपादमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्ति दिव्यैः सवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्तियम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्तियम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द Bhagavad-gita, as I mentioned a few minutes before, that you can see it was not a scripture which can be it's a Upanishad Saram, isn't it? Essence of Upanishads it is. That is why in every chapter it finishes Srimad Bhagavad-gita Su Upanishad Su. It is also Brahmavidya. It's also Yoga Shastram. So this Brahmavidya and Yoga Shastram is Bhagavad Gita. Brahmavidya and Yoga Shastram is Bhagavad Gita. Now, as I said, that certain things what Krishna has spoken, you can see very in Krishna's way of swaying things is such that he said, Na buddhi vedam janaye ajnanam karma sanginam. Joshayat Sarvakarmani Vidwan Yukta Samacharan, we are talking about in the third chapter. Krishna said this, that by saying to people Bhagavad Gita, you should not speak Brahmavidya in such a way that it creates buddhi bedam. Na buddhi bedam janayet. Ajnanam karma sanginam. When people are attached to karma and when they are in so much avidya inside, ajnanam avidya. Ajnanam is avidya. And with the result of that, what is that? Karma sanginam. Karma. This is, the whole world is on this principle running, isn't it? You take all these big leaders, you think they are all very highly educated. But from Krishna's position, if you look at it, ajnanam karma sanginam. Ajnanam is driving them. And due to that, they are attachment to karma. Ajnanam karma sanginam. And if you say to these people, na buddhi vedam janayet, when they are in that state, you have to leave them to do what they are doing. There is no point in trying to tell them, giving them a Bhagavad Gita copy and say to them, you giving copy to Putin or to Trump, it's not going to solve the problem. They will be there as they are. Ajnanam karma sanginam. They have to come to a certain stage to understand the Bhagavad Gita. They have not come to that yet. Na buddhi vedam janayad. If you tell them, they will go crazy if you get to know all these things. So these things like this in Krishna saying that Krishna understands us well before he says something. That's why the beauty of Bhagavad Gita is that everything what he has spoken is taking into account our real nature, our pragrati, our svabhavam, in other words. It's not that one medicine for everyone. It is different. Therefore, through Arjuna, all these questions what were asked, and how Krishna has clarified them will make us wonder that what a deep understanding Krishna had, because after all, manufacturer is telling us, isn't it? So one who has created us is saying to us, so you can understand that where it's coming from. This you won't find in any other scripture in the world. To such an extent, the understanding of the human nature and also the world, the living entities, how all these things. So, na buddhi vedam janayad ajnanam karma sanginam. You won't find an instruction like this in any other scripture. You can look at it. He's saying that don't create disturbances in their mind. Na buddhi vedam janayad, because they are not ready for it. It's no point in trying to change the whole world. It's not going to work. Bhagavad Gita is very much directed towards the individual. If you think that it's like any other scripture, you're mistaken that completely. Na buddhi vedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan. So, those who are attached to karma, asakti there, and who are ajnani, for them, by saying this, for people who are in knowledge, if you say these things to them, their buddhi will get start oscillating. Buddhi will get affected by that. And they will give up karma, and that is more dangerous for them. If they give up karma, it's more dangerous for them. So, person has to be somewhat receptive for this message. So, to some extent, you should be receptive for that. Only in that state it will have its effect. Yeah. So, like this, there are many instances in the Bhagavad Gita. This is only one case. There are so many other cases. Where we stopped last time is one such instance. Krishna spoke about karma a lot in that Bhakti Yogam chapter. It's all about karma what he has spoken, right? We got into that 12th verse after that. That's where we stopped. If you look at the 12, yeah, where we discussed this before, Krishna is saying there, that the Shrayohi Jnanam Abhyasal Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyare Dhyanal Karma Phalatyagam Tyagal Shandiranandaram. He said, yeah. So, up to this point, Krishna spoke about karma. And this verse is a very confusing verse. Very, very confusing verse. We discussed that last time, right? He talks about jnanam, he spoke about dhyanam, he spoke about tyagam. Three things, right? These three words, Krishna didn't use it in the way normally people will use it. These three words, jnanam, dhyanam and tyagam, right? So, if you look at the meaning of the words first, right? He's saying here that Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal means jnanam is better than abhyasam, he said. That means practicing it. And then he says, better than jnanam is dhyanam. I'm saying the direct meaning of the words. Yeah. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishare. Means better than abhyasam is jnanam. Better than jnanam is dhyanam. And then he said, dhyanal karma phalatyagam. Better than dhyanam is karma phalatyagam, giving the results of the karma, right? Then he said, after karma phalatyagam, shanti will come. Self-realization or shanti will come. End result, right? This is the general meaning of that verse, this verse, right? So, after talking about all the other things Krishna has spoken before, when he has spoken this verse, he has confused everybody with this one verse. It is confusing for one who has seriously studied Bhagavad Gita. This verse is confusing, provided you have studied the rest properly, right? So, he is saying there, better than abhyasam is jnanam. And abhyasam, one Krishna is saying here is that the topic what he has discussed in this chapter till now is karma yoga. All the other verses, if you look in this 12th chapter, it's all karma yoga, right? So, practically what Krishna has said here is, when he has spoken about bhakti, whatever he has spoken is all karma yoga basically. This chapter is called bhakti yoga. But up to this point, what he has spoken is karma yoga actually, right? So, keeping karmam in our life, karmam, including taking into account the karmam, that bhakti, karmam and bhakti connected together, that connection between karmam and bhakti, right? That samskaram what comes from that, right? That means when you turn your karma yogam into bhakti, that samskaram what comes from that, what comes out of karma yogam, Krishna called it as bhakti. By executing karma yogam, you develop a samskaram inside you. And that samskaram that comes from executing karma yogam, Krishna calls it as bhakti here. You can see from that if you don't understand these things, very easily we can go in the wrong way. We get misguided, misdirected from everything. Karma yogam, if by executing it properly, you develop a samskaram in a person. And that samskaram, Krishna calls it as bhakti. Krishna calls it as bhakti, right? Here, Krishna is saying abhyasam, right? Why is he saying abhyasam? Abhyasam means that without knowledge, that means without thinking about Krishna or anisandhanam or knowledge of what Krishna has spoken, whatever karmam you are doing here, simply doing the karmam, right? Let that be good or bad, that doesn't matter. You know, Krishna is not giving much importance to your good karma, bad karma and all that. Krishna sees karma as the problem. How to deal with the karma? That is what Krishna's concern is. And that's why he's saying here that whether you are doing the karma, expecting results from that, good results or bad results, as he mentioned before also, Naishkaramam avi achyuta bhava varjidam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kudapya abhadra abhadram ishware na harpidam karma yadapya anuttamam yadapya karanam. Sri Narada Maharshi said that in the Bhagavatam, right? So there he mentioned that without expectation of results, if you are executing karma, without expectation of results, if you are executing karma, but if it is not Bhagavad Arpanam, if it is not offered to Krishna, right, then that means without the realization is, Krishna is making us to think, and accordingly I am thinking. Krishna is making me to do things, and accordingly I am doing. This is what's called a samarpanam means. This awareness inside. Whatever I am doing is because Krishna is making me to do it from inside, Antaryami. Similarly, whatever I am thinking, my thoughts are coming in my mind, those thoughts are coming from Him. Krishna is creating the thoughts inside. Yeah. So, without that, if that is not there, if that thought is not there while doing the karmam, even if you do a karmam without expectation of result, Shashvat Abhadram, he says. Naishkarmamavi achyuta bhava varjidam na shobhade jnanamalam niranjanam kutapunam Shashvat Abhadram Ishware, he said. So, in the opinion of Shastram, karmam is not a good thing. First of all, we have to accept that. Yeah, that's where the problem is. You see, a lot of people have misunderstood Bhagavad Gita to such an extent. Shastram does not approve karmam as a good thing, right? Generally, karmam is not a good thing, right? When you hear that, it may be a little bit shocking to people, when you tell people, karmam is not a good thing, right? So, any karmam, the principle in karmam is that karmam will bring distress at the end. To come to this conviction that karmam will bring distress at the end. And that is why it's called Shashvat Abhadram. Narada Maharshi said that. Shashvat Abhadram it is. Inauspicious it is. Permanently, right? Till now, nobody has found out any karma in this world which will only bring good things, good results. Any karma you do in this world, even if it is a good karma, there will be some bad effect from that. Something will create some after effect from there, right? And at the same time, it is impossible to live in this world without doing karma. This is the situation we are caught up with. On the one hand, karma will bring disaster sometimes. And on the other hand, you cannot live in this world without karma, right? So, therefore, what do we do? Therefore, the solution is offer it to Krishna. Accept that it is Krishna is doing that. Whatever comes out of it, Krishna has to take care. In that awareness, one should execute the karma, right? So, Ishvara means that Antaryami, who is present inside us, right? So, without accepting that reality, that Antaryami is doing everything through this body and the mind, without that knowledge, simply think karma, which is a jadam thing, it's a dead thing, this karma, right? And keeping that as a big thing in this world, and without even expectation of the results, suppose you do so many social services, people do, isn't it? Building hospitals, schools and all that, things like that, right? Even if you do that, abhadram, says Narada Maharshi. Naishkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjitam nashobhade jnanam alam niranjanam. That verse is very important. It's connected, credited to Bhagavad Gita. Kudapunam shashvat abhadram ishvare. Nahyarpidam karma yadapya anuttamam yadapya karanam. In two places in the Bhagavatam it's spoken. Fifth chapter in the first canto and 12th chapter in the 12th canto. Both the same verse comes, right? So, and the Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas, that will not help you for liberation, he said. It will not release the jiva from its bondage, right? It won't become the cause of self-realization. Because in that karmam, there is ahankaram there. You are doing it as a social service, but you are the doer is in there. Yeah? And your mind is involved in that. So because of that, the results will be coming from that. And I am the doer is present in that. That is the impurity of the karma. Even though you are doing it for the society, for the benefit of others, I am the doer. That impurity is there in that. Not only that, you will not be able to, because ahankaram is doing that, you are not able to cross that boundary of ahankaram. Ahankaram is still affecting your karma. So therefore, it is not going to help you in liberation. This is very complex thing it is, this karma. We'll discuss karma yogam, you will see how Krishna has put certain things into that karma yogam chapter, right? So, so, in that Krishna is not in the picture. Krishna is not in the picture, right? So, that kind of karma, when you do that, abhyasam, Krishna calls it. So you see that word abhyasam, what was Krishna's behind mind behind that when he has spoken that, right? So, and that will not give, will not release you from the bondage. You will be bound by the world again, right? So, you can see, look at all places in this world, big, you know, they are, they are bound by karma, right? They gave importance to karma. They gave importance to karma, right? You can see in the world, Russians, Chinese, Americans, all of them, they are all stuck in this karma. Not able to see the, because this knowledge is not there, that what karma is doing to them. And they get more and more caught up in that, and they also don't know how to come out of it. They are not able to recognize that karmam is causing the problem for them, right? So, and they are stuck in that situation. Constantly they are thinking of how to increase it, right? Already they are stuck in that. And this economic development is directly connected to karma. And if you get caught up in that, what will happen is it will bind you more and more, day after day. And you won't be able to become free from that, right? And you can see it affects all over the world, that somebody starts, Russian starts, American starts, and the Chinese starts, and the rest of the world has no choice. They're also pulled along with that, and they also do the same thing, right? And Bharatabhumi's misery is also because of the same problem, what they have to face this, right? So, so everyone is sitting on top of this volcano called karma, right? And it can erupt any time. That's the nature of karma. Karma, if you keep on doing this excessively and get absorbed in that, it's like a volcano, it will erupt. And that eruption is kind of war and things like that. Because after doing so much karma, without thinking about life anymore, this karma can become a volcano. And it will erupt one day. That's what happens at the end of that, right? There will be any shanti. There will be no peace inside. And if you look, you know, sometimes these people who are the most peaceful countries in the world, you know, some people make this kind of, what do you call it? Some people make some kind of gradation of the different countries. Yeah, and they will present it to the world. I never see peaceful countries, America or Russia, in the list. It is some odd country somewhere else who are in the top of the list. Because if they are the most wealthy, or China, they are the most active countries in karma in this world. China keep on going up and up and up and up like that, isn't it? So the thing is that when you look at the list, you don't find them in that, right? And you will probably find Somalia or Bangladesh like that, whom nobody takes seriously in that sense, because economically they are not so powerful like the way Chinese are or the Russians are. But in the list of the people who are having some shanti, of course Bangladesh is different now, Somalia is also different, but in the list you will find some countries like that in their list, right? So, so places where there is not enough food to eat, or there is no enough material opulences, such places you find in the list, they are happy people. People are happy there, in such places. Not in the places where there is a lot of karma going on. In these countries, there is not so much karma. There the problem is different, right? So to measure a country and its shanti state through karma is not possible, right? So therefore, Krishna's point was that rather than simply doing karma like that, transformation of karma into a yoga process and offer that as a karma yoga, as a samarpanam to Krishna, that method, right? And that is the karma yoga process. Karma yoga is that. To transfer karma into a yoga process, right? And by offering that karma with the samarpanam to Krishna, with the samarpana buddhi, if it is executed like that, then it becomes karma yoga, and that knowledge is very important, right? So Krishna is saying here that knowledge is very auspicious, and it is better than just doing karma, doing it that way, right? That that finite thing can lead you into infinite, Kamam is a finite thing. That can lead you into infinite. That is the principle behind that. Karmam has come with us, you see. We don't need to tell anyone to do karmam. Vasana will do the thing. You see? Vasana will do the thing. We don't need to tell anybody in this world to do karmam. Karmam will come from everybody. Out of vasana it will come. So, having said that, this karmam, if it is handled properly, Krishna's point is that it can be an arrow which you are shooting for the self-realization, straight into that, right? So, so if you do karmam like that, like you spoke, then it is better than doing karmam, simple doing karmam, right? So, then that is what he is saying there. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal means that what is jnanam he is talking about? Talking about jnanam about karma yoga. Jnanam about karma yoga, right? Not just jnanam is sufficient, right? Again, suppose you are with jnanam if you are doing karmam, right? And in that karmam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will come. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer will come. And then when you don't get the results what you wanted from the karmam, you will be depressed about that. And when you get the good results, you will enjoy that. Rasa swadhanam, right? So the only happiness when you do karmam, the actual happiness is the result only. Generally in the karmam, when we do, it is the result that is keeping you happy with the karmam, right? So, when the results come, a kind of happiness comes, right? Otherwise, all this work what we do in this world, there is not much happiness in there. It's just the results that makes you happy, isn't it? While doing it, nobody enjoys any karma. Who likes karma? Nobody enjoys it. But when your results come, you feel some happiness out of that, right? And so if you say to people, you give up everything, right? It is impossible to give up because the results is there. If the results were not there, you won't be very enthusiastic to do the karma, right? So, if you think like this, to execute karma without expectation of results, right? You see, this is where the result problem is, right? Krishna is saying that karmam you do, but don't expectation of the results. To stay in the swarupam and execute the swabhavam. That is the principle of karma yoga. Remaining in the spiritual platform, able to do the karmam, then you are not affected by that. That's karma yoga. Able to remain in the swarupam, that means to realize that you are not this body and this karmam is not affecting you, means kartrutvam bhoktrutvam not affecting you. Able to do karmam in that way, that's karma yogam, right? So, you will notice in the modern times, right, our swamis, yogis, they go to all these, what do they call the, you know, big consultants, like Morgan Stanley, Ernst & Young, and KPMG, all these swamis are going there from all kinds of institutions to give them training. And when they talk to them, they are not talking about this. What they are saying to them is that if you follow Bhagavad Gita, your business will get better. You will do better in business, make more money, profits will increase. And the managers and all the other higher level people also, encourage Bhagavad Gita for this kind of thing, right? So, what you don't realize is this. Already they are stuck. They are stuck in the karma. These people, whoever they may be, right? And they are finding it difficult to come out of the drainage. They are already in the drainage. All these big managers and big business enterprises, they are all stuck in their karma, right? And rishis have given us, out of compassion, how to become free from that. Instead, we are driving them further into it. That's what's happening most of the time, right? So, rishis taught us this knowledge, that how to turn karmam into a yogam, karma yogam, right? And that means, in your bhava mandalam, in your understanding inside, that able to analyze this very well, and you have to be very clear inside what karma yogam is. And with that understanding, you have to engage in karma. Proper understanding of karma yogam. And that is why Krishna has spoken this chapter, Bhakti Yogam, completely up to this point, up to this verse, 11 verses, simply about karmam he spoke. To make us aware, karmam and bhakti is one and the same. Actually, they are not different. You see, this karmam, jnanam, bhakti and all these titles we use in the Bhagavad Gita for certain reasons. When you realize the truth, it's all one. One truth everybody is realizing from different angles. They come to different paths, they follow that and get there at the end. In the same way. So, that is what he is saying here. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyate. He is saying that if you do that dhyanam, what will happen is that this should be remembered, right? That that karmam, if you do, execute karmam, right? Just like in satsangam, what do you learn? You learn that the selfishness in us for the results of the karmam, right? Karma phalam, that selfishness for us, right? And the pride in doing karmam, ahankaram behind it, right? Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, these two things, right? All these things or will leave us if it is done as karma yoga. If it is followed as karma yoga, what will happen is these things, I am the doer and the enjoyer, and the pride in that, and the desire for the results, this will slowly leave us. That is what is the goal at the end of karma yoga, right? And when it goes away from us, Then you will be able to do that karmam how Krishna has done the karmam. Krishna was doing karmam throughout life, right? But nothing touched him. He said this to Arjuna, isn't it? That nothing touches me, he said. So he is teaching us how to do karmam in this world like the way he did. Like the way he did. It's in the Bhagavad Gita specifically spoken about it. Right? One who has appeared in this world, actually he has not. But it appears as though he has appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And it appears as though as he has done all these leela. But actually, ajobisan avayatman, bhutanam isharobisan, prakritim swam adhishtaya, sambhavami atmamayaya. This is the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. You see that it is not easy to understand Krishna's, to learn from Krishna. Krishna's teaching is like this. His own life is like that. One who was busy right from the day he appeared in this world, right up the day he left this world, he has been busy. There was no time Krishna was free. Always busy, busy, busy with that. Did karma, but nothing touched him. Nothing affected by that. Yeah. So that's the, and Krishna says to Arjuna, this is how I have done my karma. And that's what he was expecting from Arjuna to do the karma. So, which means there is no kartrutvam, there is no bhoktrutvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Not selfish interest in that, no ahankaram there, and at the same time all the interest has gone completely. Whatever results come, he was accepting that, right? So Krishna says that when your connection with the karma is broken in that way, then only you will be able to do the karma like the way Krishna has done the karma, right? So that is what he is saying here to Arjuna. Arjuna, look at me, how I do the karma, right? And for me, Krishna says, by doing this karma, I am not getting any benefit from that, which is understandable. Krishna doesn't have to drive Arjuna's chariot, is it? He doesn't have to, but he did. Krishna didn't have to bathe the horses. Clean every day during Mahabharata war, you will see there. Every day Krishna will take the horses, feed them with the feed to the horses, bathe them and bring them back and allow them to rest and tie them down to the chariots again, right? You may think this absolute truth. Does he have to do all these things? He was not expecting anything from Arjuna for this, but he did it. So, therefore, he is saying to Arjuna that I don't get any benefit from what I am doing, and if I don't do it also, nothing is going to happen to me. Right? But still I am doing it. You remember in the third chapter? You look at Krishna is openly saying, you have to analyze every verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, simply reading some translation and purport and says, I have understood Bhagavad Gita, that's just, you are nowhere then. You are just going to get confused with everything. And then if you look at this third chapter, what Krishna is saying there, that the, he is saying that, naivadasya kridenartho, nagriden, 18th verse, 318. Naivadasya kridenartho, nagridenehya kaschana, na jasya sarvabhudeshu, kaschidartavibhashraya. He says, naivadasya kridenartho, nagridenehya kaschana, na jasya sarvabhudeshu, kaschidartavibhashraya. So, such a person who is in that state, he is not going to get any benefit from karma. Karma has nothing to do with him, right? And also, because he is not getting any, he is not concerned about it, the result. And if he doesn't do any karma, nothing is going to happen to him either, right? Because why? Ahankaram is doing the karma. Ahankaram has gone. And therefore, the results have no significance, no importance to that person. Two subtle things it is. We don't understand that ahankaram is doing everything in our daily life throughout. Every karma what we do is ahankaram is doing. Just by saying, I have offered everything to you, Krishna, it's not going to change the situation, right? The ahankaram must leave us first, right? So that's what he's saying here, that na tasyam naiva tasya kriden artho na kridenehya kaschana na jasya sarvabhudeshu kaschid artha vibhashraya. And then he says to Arjuna that tasmad asatta satatam karyam karma samachara asatto hyacharan karmam paramapnodi purusha. Therefore, karmam, if you do it, there should be no asakti in that attachment, because one who does karmam like that will become perfect. So karma yogam is a science in itself. Yeah. First you have to understand the subtle side of it. And that is why he brought a Janaka into that. And he said, karma naiva hi samsiddhim, ma master the Janaka daya, loga sangraha meva api sampashyan kartum arhasi. He said there, Janaka and personalities like that, they did karmam like that. Krishna says about himself first, then he says personalities like Janaka and other great souls, this is how they did karma. This is how they did karma, right? And Janaka was not free from karma. He was a king, emperor there, right? And he was a kshatriya, which means administration work and everything. But he was always in the self-realized state. Always in the self-realized state. When he meets Ashtavakra Maharshi, Ashtavakra Maharshi deliberately to teach the world his state of consciousness, Janaka's consciousness. Suddenly he created a feeling there to everyone. Whole Mithila city was burning. And when they mentioned this to Ashtavakra Maharshi, asked Janaka about it, Janaka said, "It doesn't affect me," he said. So just to show to us what was the state of consciousness of Janaka was. And Krishna is glorifying Janaka here. That karmanevahi samsiddhim astido Janaka deya loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. He says, personalities like Janaka, who are Kshatriya, they have executed karma in this way, what Krishna has spoken. In the same way, Arjuna, you have to do the karma. So the science of karma, Krishna has taught to Arjuna in that chapter. And that is when he said that Yadyada Acharyadi Shrestha, and they are the Shrestha, who, what Krishna has done, what Janaka has done, and personalities like that. Tatta Deva Darojana, Sayat Pramanam Gurude, Logas Tadinu Vartade. Whatever they do, that is what will be followed by the great souls. And then Krishna said to him, Name Parthasti Kartavyam, Trishilogeshu Kinchana, Nana Vaptam Avaptavyam, Varta Evacha Karmani. Krishna says that I have nothing to do anywhere. Anything. I don't have to do anything because Na Parthasti, Name Parthasti Kartavyam. I have no duties, but still I am doing karma. Trishilogeshu Kinchana, right? Nana Vaptam Avaptavyam, because by doing karma, I am not expecting any results. If I get results or not, it doesn't matter to me. Still, I am doing karma. So, Krishna is trying to make Arjuna understand the secret of karma first. Because karma and bhakti are connected each other. If you do not create this samskaram in a person, he is not qualified for bhakti. Instead, if you pay them salaries and all that, and engage them in karma, thinking that they are in bhakti yogam, that's a total misunderstanding. You see, total misunderstanding it is. That first of all, this samskaram must develop in a person. That able to do karmam with this understanding that it is not, karmam is not a job. It's not a salary job. That is not karma yogam. Right? So, kashchid vibhashraya, he said. Right? So, vartam evacha karmani. I have nothing to do in this world, right? And still I am doing the karma. Saying that, Krishna says to Arjuna, do it like me, the way I am doing it. This is what he was saying to Arjuna. This is right in the third chapter, right? So, how to do karma in perfection? How to do karma in perfection, right? I will tell you about that technique, Krishna is saying to Arjuna. I'll tell you that technique, how to do karma in perfection, right? So, and you should not run in this, do karma in this world like a beggar, he says. Beggar means that you do karma, I want the result. That's a beggar situation. It shouldn't be like a beggar, right? And having said that, it is for that purpose that dhyanam he is talking about. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanam of the jnanam of how to do karma. That's the topic, what is covered in that, right? So, abhyasam is, dhyanam he mentioned here, it does not mean that dhyanam is shreshtam, better than jnanam. That is why this verse is difficult. Yeah. If you read the verse, direct meaning if you take it, it's very clear. Jnanam, better than abhyasam. Dhyanam, better than jnanam. Better than dhyanam, karma phalatyagam. It comes like that. If you take the direct meaning of the verse. But if you read the Acharya Swami's commentary on that, he's saying that you cannot take these messages directly like that. This is why Bhagavad Gita is durvijnayartham. So many verses like this will appear in the Bhagavad Gita. And if you keep reading them, you'll start thinking, this is not what he said before. And we will say, we'll find there's something wrong with Krishna then. That's how our mind will come to that lot of devotees have got a lot of misunderstanding like this about Bhagavad Gita. It's not that everything is so clear, that they are doing it because they think that on the hope that one day everything will be taken care by Krishna, on that hope. But when you are saying to others, you got to be very precise about this, that that what Krishna is saying is jnanad dhyanam vishishyare. If you have that proper samskaram, jnanam inside, then your dhyanam will become perfect. Through jnanam, that dhyanam will perfect. What jnanam? Jnanam of the karma yoga, properly. What Krishna has spoken there, right? So, with that knowledge, if you perform dhyanam, then, not dhyanam of anything, what you like, right? For example, people perform dhyanam of the form of the deity, Krishna's form. That is Surupa Dhyanam, right? Or some people, they perform meditation where there is a light inside. They perform Jyotis Dhyanam, Rupa Dhyanam. That all gives you some happiness temporarily for a short period of time. But when you are living in this world called samsaram, material existence, right? When we come here and when we are engaging in karma, we have a very inherent disease in all of us, right? That is that selfishness inside, the results for that, right? And what Krishna is saying here is that when we are working in this world, doing karma here, right? The root disease, what we have, the root cause, or you can say the root defect or fall from what we have got, is this selfishness inside us, right? How to remove that selfishness from that, and that knowledge, what is required to pluck that selfishness completely, uproot it from inside, that anusandhanam of that knowledge is dhyanam, what Krishna is talking about. You see? Normally if you say to somebody dhyanam, what will happen? Dhyanam means some form. So rupa dhyanam. Some form you meditate upon, Krishna's form or some other form, right? And so that's called Swarupa Dhyanam. Or some jyotis inside, like in the Kavilam talks about. All that is considered to be dhyanam, but it is not the dhyanam what Krishna is talking about here. This is the difficulty, you see. He is saying here, jnanal dhyanam vishishade, dhyanam of this jnanam. What is that? How this selfishness, what is inside us, this is the one what we are trying to get rid of from inside. All great personalities have worked on this principle, who are in the Vedic tradition. This was their strength, right? So, so he's saying here, that dhyanam, of that jnanam, will become perfect, right? Krishna is saying, with that jnanam, dhyanam will become perfect. Dhyanam will become perfect. In other words, the samskaram that come from karma yoga, when that samskaram develops inside of that karma yoga, that leads into a practice of that is called abhyasam, right? And that with that abhyasam is jnanam. That abhyasam is jnanam. And if Krishna is saying that, if that clarity has come inside about all these things properly, karma yogam, abhyasam, jnanam, dhyanam, if these things have come clearly inside, you will come to realize that body, mind, intelligence, ego has nothing to do with you. All these things are in these locations, in body, mind, intelligence, ego. That's where all these things are. Which one? Our attachment to the results. Where is it? It is in the buddhi, is it not? Buddhi has Our buddhi has become like that, want the results for everything. So when it talks about ajnanam, Krishna mentioned that before, it is in three locations inside us, in buddhi, manasa, indriyam. Our ajnanam is in these three places. In the alma, there is no ajnanam. Ajnanam is in these three locations. It is in the Karma Yogam chapter. In buddhi there is ajnanam, in manasa there is ajnanam, in indriyam there is ajnanam. Indriyam there is ajnanam. Buddhi ajnanam is the most difficult one to remove. If in your buddhi, if you have accepted something, then it takes a lot of effort to get rid of from the buddhi. The mind will compare what buddhi he is thinking about, and indriyam senses will act. This is how ajnanam works in everybody. Isn't it? In all of us, how avidya works, right? You look at these big people, I'm talking about big men, means these big politicians and big, leaders of this world. In their buddhi, the wrong knowledge is planted already. And that is very deeply planted inside. And whatever they do at the end, their mind and their actions will follow their buddhi. That's the way it is. You can't do anything about it till their buddhi has to change first. Changing buddhi is the difficult part. Because you can see in spiritual life also, if buddhi has accepted something, everything becomes a lot easier then. And that's what's called Parokshya Jnana. Shastram, accepting Shastram by buddhi is Parokshya Jnana. So if Parokshya Jnana has come into someone inside, then his buddhi will control him all the time. That means his mind will act in a particular way, his senses will act in a particular way, but buddhi is the controller behind it. Yeah. So if through this jnanam, and when he says your jnanam will be very good, right, which means that when that clarity has come in the buddhi, at that time, he will start realizing that I am not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. And at that moment, whatever that remains, that is me, really. That's my real identity. In other words, you are moving away from the platform of the body, mind, ego, senses, everything, into the spiritual platform. That will be the result of that, Krishna is saying there. So, look at that verse. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishade. First he is saying that shreyas is, jnanam is better than abhyasam. Then what is abhyasam is talking about? Abhyasam is talking about the karma yogam, what we have spoken before. The first 11 verses, right? And when that abhyasam goes well, it develops a samskaram inside us. And then you realize that how you are becoming released from the bondage of the body, mind and senses. And that is what he is saying here. That dhyanam, which releases you from the connection with the body, mind and senses, vishishyate, it is the best. So much Krishna has put into those two lines. Yeah. And therefore, it is not simply doing some dhyanam of something, right? And if you have that anusandhanam persuasion, right, what happens to them? That it will make you very focused on self-realization, in other words. That means that karma yogam gradually takes you to self-realization through the knowledge and the samskaram that has come from that, and the mind does not go into the world anymore. It turns towards Santaryami. It becomes very focused on self-realization, right? So, how does that happen? That's what that vishishyade, the word, vishishyade. Vishishyade. When does it become vishishtam? It becomes vishishtam when the instructions from the guru and similarly the knowledge of the shastram and that knowledge all ends up vishishtam in the dhyanam stage. It becomes vishishtam in the dhyanam stage. So here what Krishna has said in those two lines, as I said from the beginning, that he mentioned these things, that this verse itself is a very subtle nature. Krishna has put it in such a way that causes a lot of confusion. If you look most of the books, when you read the translation, it will simply tell you that abhyasam, jnanam is better than abhyasam, dhyanam is better than jnanam. And then when he says karma phalatyagam is better than dhyanam, it doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So that's where confusion comes. So important to understand what is behind this verse. Yeah. So that's what he is saying here. That the there's a very long commentary on that. He says, Shreyohi prashasyadaram jnanam kasmad avivega purvakat abhyasad tasmad abhijnanat jnana purvakam dhyanam vishishyade. And he said that without knowledge, you are practicing something better than that is jnanam. Right? And that means without understanding karma properly, engaging in karma, even though it is done with selflessly, without expecting any results. So scrutinize karma first in that way. And then he said, better than jnanam is dhyanam, and then better than dhyanam is karma bhalatyagam. Then the explanation to that, right? He says, evam karma bhalatyagad purva visheshnavata shandihi ovashamaham sahedukasya samsarasya anandaram evasya nadu kalandaram apekshate. He said that because ajnani, the ignorant person, right, he is not capable of doing any of these things. He is ajnani. He doesn't know anything, right? So all the things what Krishna has spoken before in previous chapters, he is not capable of doing it, right? We have to know ourselves first, where we stand in spiritual life, right? You may hear a lot of things in Bhagavad Gita, and you may start thinking, why shouldn't I do this? Why shouldn't I try this? Why shouldn't I try that? But then you also have to know your own limitations. Yeah. For example, this Vichara Margam means Tattva Jnanam, able to do that. Everybody can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know about you, but I know I can't do it. That is why Ramana Maharshi's process is fantastic, but it is not possible for everyone. This is the difficulty. Process is excellent. Direct process it is. Self-realization. But the person who is taking it, they, even though it is the best process, once we don't have that capacity to do it, there's no point in trying to follow that. And that is why the alternative Maharshi also said is Sharanagati, surrendering process. That's the only process which will work, because who don't have the capacity for Tattva Jnanam, Vichara Margam, that's called Vichara Margam. For them the only option left is to surrender to Krishna and taking shelter from Krishna's and Krishna's support. If Krishna gives it, you have it. Otherwise, it's not possible. Whereas the Jnana Margam, normally, of course, it is supported with bhakti. But to do Tattva Vicharam, you require a certain samskaram inside. Otherwise, it's not possible to do that. Yeah? So that's what he is referring to. This verse is important because it talks a lot of things in spiritual life, how it affects everybody. He says, Ajnani means people, normal people, avidya, in avidya. Ajnani means everybody is in avidya, right? So when you are in avidya, when you are doing karma, if you tell them all the other things, what you spoke in the third chapter, fourth chapter and all that, he will say, it is not possible for me to do that, right? And therefore, earlier he said, Phalatyagam is not responsible for liberation, not at all, right? So, but now, Karma Bhalatyagam, Krishna is glorified here. Karma Bhalatyagam means giving up the results of the karma, right? It is meant for those people who cannot do first-class sadhana. People who cannot do first-class sadhana, because people are different. Some people, they can only do karma, work. Sadhana difficult for them. That is their vasana inside. It is like that. There's nothing you can do about it. Vasana is like that. To sit in one place, to do some sadhana, it's difficult for them. But they'll do all work what you tell them to do. Any other work you tell them, they are willing to do that. Yeah. So, when it is like that, in order to encourage them to come to the path of spiritual life, the one good thing about the rishis, they have not excluded anybody. They know our problems more than what we know about ourselves. They know in human society there are people with different problems. Their vasanas are such, and they are not said only you can have spiritual life. No, they have included everyone. And they are saying to us that the reason why karma phalatyagam is glorified in this verse is, it is for those people who find it difficult to do any uttama sadhana, first class sadhana, right? So, and it is spoken also in the, and Acharya Swami is quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Kathopanishad to support that argument, right? He says here that when all desires have gone away from inside, right, you become eligible for spiritual life. Amrutvam. In other words, kamam, as long as we have desires inside, spiritual advancement is very difficult. When there is desires inside, desires have to leave us first. Those desires inside, which has been built up over several lifetimes, which is inside us in the form of vasanas, right? In that state, even if you do sadhana, it is not going to change the situation very much, with all the desires inside, right? That's a known thing. You see, in your organization, when it is presenting things, they will tell you in general everything. And from that, you pick up something what you have understood and you are doing that. But you also have to look at what Krishna is saying here. Krishna's point is that when you have a lot of desires inside, and if you are doing some sadhana along with that, it's not going to make a huge difference, he says. It may be a little bit frustrating for us, because we are people who are trying to keep everything together. We want our material happiness also. We want our sense gratification also. And we want some spiritual advancement also. All these things don't work together like that. There is certain clear boundaries where you have to leave certain things. Yeah. So he's saying here that Kathopanishad is saying this. Brihadaranyaka is saying that. And Acharya Swami has taken those quotations from there. So if you give up desires, only when the desires leaves you, only at that point, he's saying that you require eligible for self-realization, right? Sarva karma tyaga samanyam ajna karma phala tyagasya asti. It is that samanya sarva karma phala tyaga stuti iyam prarojanartham. So, this karma phala tyagam of an ajnani also belongs to that category, right? In order to create some taste in him. Because he is so addicted to karmam, the only way you can bring him about into spiritual path is by developing some taste in him, by glorifying him in such a way that he started realizing that he has to become free from the karmam. You know, most of the people won't easily agree that karmam is a problem. Everybody is absorbed in karmam. Karmam is keeping them going in this world. And everyone, Ahankaram inside is telling them that if they become successful in their karmam, the Ahankaram gets happiness from that. Andaryami doesn't get any happiness from that. Because if you become successful in karmam, your Ahankaram gets happy. That's all it is. So, because if you tell them these things, they don't understand Ahankaram, they don't understand what Atma is. So they are called Ajnani. So such ajnanis, what can you do with them? You tell them that karma bhalatyagam will make you come to the spiritual platform. That's the only way to drag them into the spiritual life. Otherwise they won't understand it. because karmam is so important for them, so absorbed in that karmam, right? So, and so Acharya Swami says here, yatha agastyena brahmanena samudraha pita iti idanindanam abhi brahmana brahmanadaha samanyar stuyande. Agastya was a brahmana, right? There's a story about him. He drank the whole ocean and the ocean got dried up, right? And in that he is glorified brahmana, as Agastya is brahmana there. And he says that Agastya was successful in that because of this way he executed karmam. Evam sarva karma balatyagat karma yogasya shreya sadhanatvam abhihitam. When you are able to give up the... So, from karma vasana to come to karma bhalatyagam, to this state, he is saying here that the only way it can happen is if you first begin with this bhalatyagam, sarva karma bhalatyagam, right? And at that time, you are slowly entering into karma yogam. When you give up the karma bhalatyagam, you enter into karma yogam gradually, right? And so, karma bhalatyagam means that the Atma and Ishvara, right, realizing that and fixed on Ishvara and execute this yogam in that way. And that is what he said, Dhyanal karma bhalatyagam tyaga shantiranandaram. So, having said all these things, he said that this karmam, if it has to become karma yogam, this knowledge of karma yogam should come in our meditation. Dhyana mandalam, it is called. Dhyana mandalam means in our thoughts, this understanding of karmam, how karmam becomes karma yogam. How karmam becomes karma yogam, to understand that, we have to have in our dhyanam, in our meditation, karma yogam. In other words, karma yogam means tyagam, isn't it? Tyagam, tyagam means giving up the results, right? So, when any karmam is performed, it is done with this motive. I am not just doing a deity worship as such, right? Or not for my selfish interests I am doing anything. The results of my karmam, or its effect, after effect, right, is all Krishna's. In other words, Paramahamsa used to say this, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say, he was a devotee of Bhadragali, mother, Jagadambiya, used to say, the mother is Yandri, I am a Yandram. I am a machine, she is the operator. That's the attitude. Any karma, whatever I am thinking, she is making me to think, I am doing that. I am thinking what she is making me to think. That means inside him, he has accepted that Antaryami is doing everything. It has to come to that stage to do that. And similarly, whatever the body is doing, Antaryami is doing that. I am not doing that. Antaryami is doing that. In other words, Ahangaram is not doing anything. Everything is done by Antaryami. In order to come to that, a lot of dhyanam is required. That dhyanam is what Krishna is talking about here, right? So, that is called a samarpanam. Samarpanam means that, right? It's not that I'm just saying on the lips, I've given Krishna everything, I've given it to you. Just by saying with the lips is not good enough. Inside that samarpana buddhi, right? So, if I realize that, my selfishness and my own personal benefit, I'm not getting anything from that, if I start thinking like that, then... if ever such a thought comes, Sri Narada Maharshi said in the 7th canto, the answer for that. Yeah. When such a thought comes like that, he is saying here, how it should be, what should be the relationship. Things are very subtle. When you go deeper into Bhagavatam, you will find it a little difficult to see that what Sri Narada Maharshi said at that time. Yeah. So he mentioned there that the in the 14th chapter, you will see, Yaval Briyeda Jadaram Taval Satvam Hi Dehinam Adhigam Yobhi Manyeda Sasteno Danda Marhadi. Narada Maharshi's commentary on that is that verse. Yeah. Yaval Briyeda Jadaram Taval Satvam Hi Dehinam Adhigam Yobhi Manyeda Sasteno Danda Marhadi. Remember that verse, what he is saying there. Right? That how much can I have in this world? If you ask the question. Narada Maharshi says, as much as you don't feel hungry, that much food you are allowed to take. Right? Yavad Briyeda Jadaram Taval Satvam Hi Dehinam. And the belly is considered to be like a pot, right? If you have hunger, you have a right to ask for food anywhere. That is allowed. That's not... when you are hungry, you are allowed to take food from others if you don't have the food, right? And you need a place to sleep. And that's all your requirement is in life is concerned. You need the food to eat and a place to sleep, right? Yavad Briyada Jadaram Taval Satram Hidehinam. If you ask anything excess than that, Adhyam Yobhi Manyeda Sasteno Dandamarhadi. He says you are a thief if you are taking anything more than that. This is the principle rishis have followed. Rishis have said it is based on this. The whole philosophy of Sanatana Dharma is structured. Sanatana Dharma never believed in economic development. Materialistic, it is not a materialistic culture. It never believed in economic development. What they are saying is that if you stay like this in this world and save the time for self-realization, that was their position on these things. We must not forget that. When you read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and start thinking that economic development and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam will go together side by side, it won't happen. It won't happen. Now, there are cases in the Bhagavatam like Ambarish Maharaj. And there is also cases like Sudama. One richer than the richest, other one poorer than the poorest. And they were both self-realized. Why? Why is that? Why Bhagavatam bring all types of people into spiritual life? You have got an old lady who have suffered heavily in this world with children, grandchildren, everybody, Kunti Devi. Then you have got a great personality, Parikshit King, who ruled the planet. Then you have got a little boy like Prahlada from the womb itself realized the truth. Self, Asuric child, Asura's son. Then we have got gopis in Vrindavanam who have not educated very much but very attached to bhakti. Then you have the wives of the brahmanas who are knowledgeable, learned people, and their wives are very learned. They are also spoken in the Bhagavatam. So if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see personalities from all sides of life spoken in the Bhagavatam. And they were all realized the truth at the end. Why did they do that? Why did Vedavyasa Maharshi bring all types of people into Bhagavatam? To tell us that spiritual life, you have complete freedom. In material life, it's your prarabdham. That is destiny. Destiny, in material life, it is destiny. In spiritual life, it's free will. This principle to teach us, in a very subtle level, Vedavyasa Maharshi put that in the Bhagavatam like that. By bringing all these people, Kundi Devi, Bhishma, a powerful personality, he is realizing the self in the battlefield after fighting a big battle. So if Kundi Devi can do it, Bhishma Pitamaha can do that, Uddhava could do it, Gopis could do it, Prahlada could do it, Dhruva could do it, all types of people, Mujukunda could do it. Why is it like that? All these type of personalities in the Bhagavatam for this reason, to tell us that in your spiritual life, nobody can interfere. That is your free will, what you want to do in spiritual life. As far as body, mind, senses, material life is concerned, that's your destiny, which is prarabdham. There you can't do anything about it. That will come, that will go. So, to stay in the spiritual platform and to deal with the destiny is spiritual life. One should be fixed in the spiritual platform, in the platform of the soul, and able to continue the doing what is doing in the mundane world, what we have to do. So, those are things all related to Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is only the science. But practical side of Bhagavad Gita, if you want to see, it's in the Bhagavatam. That's close connection between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, you find the science is spoken very precisely. But in Bhagavatam, what you find is personalities coming from different backgrounds completely. Look at Kunti Devi's situation and how she ended up in self-realization. Bhishma, in another way. Dhruva, a princely boy. And then Prahlada, another interesting personality. Gopis, another group. They're all housewives they were. They were not educated very much. They were not studied Shastram so much. They didn't do much sadhana. They also became perfect in spiritual life. Prahlada became perfect in spiritual life. Uddhava became perfect in spiritual life. Uddhava was a minister, Krishna's minister. He became perfect in spiritual life. Vidura became perfect in spiritual life. So, people from all backgrounds, when they come to spiritual life, they have the full freedom to execute spiritual life. Whichever way they made it. In different ways they have all made it. And Krishna's point to Arjuna is this, that if they all could make it, why you make it a big issue out of it? When he said that he couldn't fight the war, Krishna's point was that all these great personalities are able to do that, and they all have their own prarabdham, but still they did that. So this is important. People always ask this question, isn't it? Free will or destiny? People always ask this question. Is it free will or is it destiny? The answer is very straightforward. As far as body is concerned, mind is concerned, life in this world is concerned, it's your destiny. There you don't have any much you can change it. It will come in its own way. It's already decided. That's why it said destiny. It's already decided. And that's what it's called prarabdham. English people will call destiny, we'll call it a prarabdham. That's all the difference is. Whereas on spiritual side of it, self-realization, it is free will. You have complete freedom there to do, provided you take it. That's all. But the basic knowledge is like that. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadayal Mahaprabhu ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.